I was born and raised in a home where both my father and my mother were New Testament Christians. I was raised in a home where from day one that I could remember anything, I was told by my father and mother that certain behavior is sinful. And that if you engaged in that behavior, you would break the law of God, and that before it was over, I would become a very unhappy person. It was impressed upon me every day. Whatever a man sows, that will he reap. And if you sow to the flesh, you'll reap corruption. And if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap everlasting life. These were my parents telling me that. I knew that they loved me. So I listened to them. As an infant, they wrapped me in a blanket and they took me to the old Eastside Central Church of Christ, located on Van Dyke between Jefferson and Kirchville. And I went downstairs into the basement of that church building into different classrooms. And those teachers, Dimple Whetstone, Pat Howell, Lucille West, Solomon Sims Sr., those teachers told me the same thing that my parents told me at home. They told me that certain behavior was sinful, and that if you engaged in that behavior, you would break the law of God and you'd end up unhappy. Class would end, we would come upstairs into the auditorium, and the men of God who I grew up listening to would preach. Frank Vaughn, Jack Hawkins, David Rushlow, Albert Jones, and they presented to me over and over growing up that whatever you sow, you will reap. And if you sow to the flesh, you'll reap corruption. And if you sow to the Spirit, you'll reap eternal life. As a child and growing up into teen years, I knew that all of those people had my best interest at heart. I knew that all of those people were smarter than I was. So I listened. And as a result of listening, you're looking at a man who believes that as he was growing up and into his teen years, that he was saved from 1,000 tears and from a whole lot of pain because he decided to listen to people who he knew had his spiritual interest at heart. So, I cannot stand here and from my own personal experience tell you about how bad some things are. However, there is one man in the Bible who is eminently qualified to talk to us about the difference between the life of the righteous and the life of the unrighteous. And from that man, we want to take heed and we want to learn what he tells us. The man that I'm talking about is King Solomon. Listen carefully. Solomon was exposed to everything that you think will make you happy. Let me say that again. King Solomon was exposed to everything that you think will make you happy. In the first 11 chapters of the book of 1 Kings, 1 Kings chapter 1 through chapter 11 tell us some very extraordinary things about King Solomon. It tells us that Solomon owned 40,000 stalls of horses. 40,000. And that Solomon had 12,000 men who did nothing except look after his horses. We learn further that Solomon was the wisest man in all of the world. This was a wisdom that had been bestowed upon him by God Almighty himself. Solomon wrote 3,000 proverbs and he wrote 1,005 songs. Solomon lived in a palace that took 13 years to build. Watching, Solomon had 700 wives and 300 substitutes. That's a heap of shoes. Solomon's annual income just in gold was 25 tons. Are you aware that they measure gold by the ounce? Are you further aware that there are 32,000 ounces in a single ton? Are you further aware that there's 800,000 ounces in 25 tons? Are you aware that at the close of day on Friday, that 1 ounce of gold was selling for $4,200 and some odd? Are you aware that 800,000 ounces times $4,200 and some odd is exactly more money than all of us could ever spend? Listen, watch this. Solomon's throne was made of pure ivory. All of Solomon's eating utensils were made of solid gold. I mean, Solomon got up in the morning and poured his tea into a gold teacup. He took a gold spoon and stirred that tea. When he ate, he took a gold knife and cut his meat. When he ate, he took a gold fork and eat what he'd cut with that.
This is him. This is him.
Listen to me now. We're going somewhere. I've been here a long. You know we're going somewhere, so stay with me. This man right here, King Solomon, this man kept a running journal of his life. This running journal is found in the Old Testament. It's called the Book of Ecclesiastes. In the Book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon's journal, Solomon is searching for the real meaning of life. Are you listening? In this book, Solomon is searching for the real meaning of happiness. So in Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse 10, look at it carefully. Solomon said, "Whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them." Solomon said, "I kept my heart from no pleasure." Think about what the man is saying. Solomon said, "Anything that I laid my eyes on that I wanted, I got it." Solomon said, "Anything that my heart could dream of, any imagination of my heart, any desire of my heart," he said, "I kept nothing away from it." Nothing. Nobody has ever lived on this planet. Listen to me. Nobody has ever lived on this planet was more qualified to talk to us about the difference between life in the flesh and life in the spirit better than Solomon. So in this journal of Ecclesiastes, of my life, looking for happiness, looking for its meaning, more than 35 times, Solomon uses the word vanity. The word vanity in Ecclesiastes, it means uselessness. It means nothingness. Solomon said, "I went over here and I did this and I built this and I had this, and it's vanity." Solomon said, "I went over here and I desired this and it was vanity. It's useless. It's nothingness." He said, "I went over here. Listen, everything I set my eyes on, everything my heart could imagine, if I wanted it, I got it. Nobody could stop me." And he said, "It's meaningless. It's vanity." Here's the sermon. Turn with me now to the book of Proverbs, chapter 10. Proverbs, chapter 10. Now listen carefully. In Proverbs 10, Solomon has come to the end of his life. And as an old man, at the end of his life, Solomon is unhappy and he is discouraged. Are you listening? The man who saw it all, the man who had it all, and bless God, the man who did it all, says there's one more
piece of advice that I need to leave everybody with. In Proverbs chapter 10 and in verse 22, the blessing of the Lord makes rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. Listen to me. Everything the devil promises you, everything the devil gives you, every blessing the devil offers comes with an attached sorrow or trouble. But what the Lord promises you, and what the Lord will give you, and the blessings of the Lord have no sorrow added to it. What is the difference between the Lord's blessing and the devil's blessing? The difference is that everything the devil promises you will come connected with sorrow and trouble, but everything the Lord blesses you with, there will be no sorrow added to it. So this morning, this lesson has the two most obvious observations in the world. Observation number one, the joy of sin never lasts. It never lasts. Go ahead and jump on it, but before you jump off, there's going to be sorrow. Where I grew up on Lower East Side, where the Lord stays, three houses from where I lived, there was a family. A husband, a wife, and they had five kids. One girl and four boys. I knew a whole lot about this house because when I was growing up, I played ball with two of those four boys, so I knew all about it. The father, a husband, had a construction job. This was his life's cycle. He'd get a construction job, he would pay all the bills, get a little extra money, and then he quit that construction job and he started drinking. And he'd get drunk and he'd stay drunk. This man was miserable. When he was drunk, his wife hated him. When he was drunk, his children avoided him. And he'd stay cantankerous and contrary the whole time he was drunk, and he'd keep drinking and keep drinking until he ran out of money. Then he'd sober up, he'd go out and get another construction job, he'd pay up all the bills, he'd get money saved up, and then he quit that construction job and he come home and he started drinking again. And that was his life. That was his life. When he was sober, he absolutely lived for his next drunk. Now listen to me. Listen to me. There is no doubt in my mind, none, that at one time, drinking brought that man some pleasure. But that pleasure quickly went away
and that pleasure was then replaced with sorrow upon sorrow upon sorrow upon sorrow that came to him, and everybody else in that house was a wreck because of him. The joy of sin never lasts. Never. I want you to leave Proverbs 10. I want you to turn over to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Well, the devil said, the devil is a liar. And why are you grown? Why don't you know that? Hebrews chapter 11. Look at verse 24 and verse 25. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. From those two verses, I want you to notice three things here. Number one, Moses chose. Look at the beginning of verse 25. Choosing. Listen, Moses chose to give up Egypt. Moses chose to give up living in the palace. Moses chose to give up all the wealth that was involved in that. Moses chose to give up eating of the best food. Moses chose to give up walking around Egypt doing anything he wanted to anybody he wanted. Listen to me. Moses chose, and bless God, you must choose too. You must choose sin or righteousness. Nothing reveals the character of a person more than the choices that person makes. Moses chose, and so must we. The second thing I want you to notice from the passage is that sin is pleasurable. Verse 25, the pleasures of sin. Look at me. Listen to me. Think for a minute. If there wasn't any pleasure in it, it wouldn't bother us. Amen. There wouldn't be an issue. It's pleasurable. But that pleasure quickly dissipates. Quickly dissipates. Moses chose. Sin is pleasurable. If it wasn't, we wouldn't have a problem with it. Because it's pleasurable, it's tempting to us. Because it's pleasurable, it catches our eye. Because it's pleasurable, we look at it. Third thing I want you to see here. The pleasure of sin doesn't last. Brethren, it is the fleeting pleasure of sin. Now, I want everybody in the house to hear this and hear this very carefully. When the newness of sin wears off, when the newness of sin is gone, you have one of two options. Either you remain in the sin and are miserable, or
You have to up the dosage of the sin. Nobody wakes up one morning and says, listen, I want to become an alcoholic. Nobody wakes up in the one morning and says, listen, what I really want is I want my life controlled by a liquor bottle. Nobody wants that, and nobody wants it. But here's what happens. You better listen. Here's what happens. You go to work. It's a hard day. Everything that could go wrong went wrong. You come home that night. This day has been miserable. So you drink a glass of wine. When you drink that glass of wine, you know what happens? You tingle. And you love that tingle. Amen. You love that tingle. Takes the edge off. I'm not so anxious now. It's all good. So the next morning you go back to work. Same rascals that were there yesterday have showed up tomorrow. You come home. You're on edge. I know something to take the edge off. So you take a glass of wine. And guess what comes back? The tingle. You love that tingle. That tingle feels good. So you go back the next day, and the next day, and the next day, and the next day, and the next day. And then one night you come home and you pour that glass of wine and you drink that glass of wine and you say, "Oh, no tingle. Where is the tingle? I have lost the tingle." So what are you going to do? Now I'm going to pour a second glass of wine. You drink the second glass of wine, and guess who shows up? The tingle is back. There it is. There it is. And you go on back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And then one night you come home and you take that second drink and boom, no tingle. Well, what am I going to do now? I'm up the dosage. Are you listening? Do you understand what's going on here? Now it takes you three drinks to get the tingle that one drink used to give you. Listen to me. I'm trying to help you. Listen to me. With every sin, there comes an accompanying sorrow with that sin. With every sin, there comes an accompanying sorrow. But the devil hides that sorrow from you. And then after it's too late, the devil gets you by the throat, and now he has you. Sin will take you further than you want to go. Sin will keep you longer than you want to stay. And sin will cost you more than you want to pay. There is a high, high cost for low living. And one day it will be payday, and when payday comes up, you are not gonna like it. The joy of sin never lasts. Never lasts. Second observation. The joy of sin never lasts.
But the joy of righteousness never ends. The more that you love God, the more that you love God, the more you study His Word, the more that prayer means to you. Listen, I'm not talking about playing church. I'm not talking about playing Christianity. I'm talking about loving God. I'm talking about studying His Word. I'm talking about prayer. The more these things become a part of your life, the more real joy and real peace you're going to know about. I'm going to say this too. I contend that the only Christians who are not happy continuously, the only Christians who are not happy are Christians who have allowed sin to come back into their lives, or they are about to walk away from the church and the Lord. We've either let sin in or we're about to walk. And when folks walk, they always say the same thing. The problem is with the church. The problem is with the preacher. I'm your problem. Listen to me. The church isn't the problem. Sin is the problem. The joy of righteousness never ends. Listen. Just show me the person who has been in deep sin for 10 years and is still happy where they're at. And when I say happy, I'm not talking about world happy, ha ha, and your life is in pieces in an hour. That's not happy. That's goofiness. You show them to me. The joy of sin never lasts. Show me somebody who's been out there in the devil, neck deep for 10 years, who's still happy. You can't, unless they're living a facade and none of it's real. On the other hand, I can show you Christian after Christian after Christian who in the bleakest moments of their lives still have their joy. I have witnessed, I have seen Christians smile from ear to ear while laying on their deathbed. I heard an old brother say once, and he said it out loud before he died. He said, "You can't scare me with heaven." I started backing up off that brother, but that's what he said. Here's what it comes down to. It comes down to the fleeting joy of sin or the lasting joy of righteousness. That's what it comes down to. Let me illustrate something, and I'm going to close with this illustration. Suppose somebody comes to you and they have two gift bags.
These are gift bags. The first bag is from God. This is God's bag. Now, let's start with just looking at the bag. It's not flashy, is it? Ain't no colors and lights popping out in it. It's just plain. Little bit dreary on a dreary day. But how it looks, bless God, doesn't matter. What matters, what's inside the bag. So what is inside this gift bag from God that God wants us to have? You know what's in here? Peace. You know what's in this bag? Joy. You know what's in this bag? Fun and love. Listen to me. You know what's in this bag? Salvation. You know what's in this bag? Every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. You know how long the contents of this bag will last? It'll last us through heaven, bless God. So that's God's gift bag. Here's old Smutty Face's gift bag. This is the devil's gift bag. It's flashy, ain't it? It's flashy. Bright colors, it's all around this. When I compare that to this, I'm like, you know what? This looks good. It looks good. It's all dialed up and all prettied up. But just like this bag, what the bag looks like doesn't matter. What's in the bag? So we're going to look. Uh-oh. This ain't good. You know what's in this bag? Misery. You know what's in this bag? Sorrow. You know what's in this bag? Heartbreak and disappointment. That's what's in this bag. Well, how long is this bag gonna last? This bag right here, listen. This bag right here will give you a quick pleasure and then make you miserable from ever on. Listen, I don't want that bag. Death is in that bag. Death is in that bag. It doesn't matter how pretty it is, what's inside of it? So I ask you this in the end. Are any of us gullible enough to believe that the pleasures of sin do not have consequences? Amen. You're going to choose. You say, well, I'm not going to choose. If you don't choose, that's your choice. But you're going to choose. The fleeting joy of sin or the lasting joy of righteousness. You're going to choose. And you're going to choose right now as together we stand and as we sing.